Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. Preds and Coyotes Game 2 taking place later today. Puck drop at 1:30. And to help us talk a little bit more about that, we bring in our good friend Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst and former Preds goaltender, brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. See, Mace, what's going on, my friend?
Not much. Just excited and jacked up and ready for game two this afternoon.
So, Chris, what were kind of some of your takeaways from game one and the loss on Sunday, and what needs to change for the Preds as they transition into game two?
Well, some of my takeaways, I think, honestly, a lot of the stuff that happened, I think, could be some of the things that was expected. The talk out of training camp, great training camp, everybody looked good. Play that Dallas game, first Dallas game, that preseason tune-up game. Couldn't have went any better, to be honest with you. There was no adversity, nothing that this team's really had to go through in terms of, you know, getting scored on. They didn't get scored on the Dallas game, recovering from a goal, you know, getting into penalty trouble. It's just so hard. There's so many unknown quantities when you just play one game. You don't see every situation. They never had to really deal with any big momentum swings. And then so when they – you know, and then they get scored on in the fashion that they did, that first goal, you could kind of see all of a sudden they felt so good about their start. The first 5 minutes, they were all over Arizona, and all of a sudden, boom, you get a goal like that. And they kind of like their eyes went wide and they kind of just, you know, got hit by a truck there for a minute. And you know, Arizona, in turn, they built off that. They were getting run out of the building to that point. It was only 5 minutes. But then they, you know, the next 7-8 minutes, they were all over the Preds, and that really cost them the game, their ability or their lack of ability to respond to that situation. But again, you know, it's part of the ups and downs, and they went through it now. And I think they really made a big push there in the third. I think Arizona started sitting back a little bit, and the Preds settled in and started to use their speed and, you know, play to their identity, which is speed and everybody, you know, kind of getting pucks in deep and opening up, backing them off more in the neutral zone, I think, and which allows them to use their speed and then get to the net more effectively. And then they started to pressure Kemper with traffic to the net. So I really thought they settled in. I thought Saros settled in as well. I didn't think he played. I didn't think he was to fault for any of the goals. You know, you'd like to see maybe one more big save in that, you know, that crunch time when the Preds had their backs against the wall. But, you know, you always want that. But I thought he looked really good, especially in the second half of the game.
Yeah, that killer stretch, Chris, we've obviously talked a lot about that. And, you know, when that happens, you get the crazy bounce, you know, bad break, kind of a stunning moment. And then you have the string of penalties and just, you know, whatever, 10, 12 minutes of the game just flipping on you. In that moment as a team, you know, what can be done to stem that tide? I mean, is that a someone on the bench say something thing? Is that just you got to count on, especially your experienced guys who have been through so many of these high-pressure playoff games, to stabilize things? Like, what has to happen if they come into that type of situation again in this series?
Well, it is a combination exactly of the things that you just said. It's a collective mindset. And I think, you know, when we watch sports, we can all feel those momentum shifts and we can all feel a team that gets scored on and it doesn't faze them when they lose a game and they come back the next game and they're not fazed by the situation. And I think in a situation like that, you have players who have been through, you know, they've got a ton of experience. They've been through these battles. They've been through the emotional ups and downs and had to find a way to stay even keel. So you do need somebody on the bench to say, guys, this is nothing. We knew this is going to, we're going to get scored on, you know, and really get that collective mindset. And then once one guy says it, you know, three more guys pass the message on down the line, then all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's water off a duck's back. It's no big deal. You know, this was going to happen. We knew this was going to happen. We've been here before. Now, what's more important? Now, once you get rid of that and you shift your focus, well, your next shift is the most important shift of the game. And then you focus on what you have to do now instead of what just happened, you know, 10 or 15 seconds ago that you can't believe happened, how that goal went in. And you let that affect you. And you give the opportunity, you know, you give the other team an opportunity to get back in the game and make, you know, an impact. And Arizona did. they smelt blood and they went after it and they really made him pay in that 8 minute stretch.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us. And Chris, you know, we do our best on this show not to overreact to one game, which I'm sure you do as well. But I see some things in the Arizona game one that I think are systematic and problematic of what's been plaguing this team for a while. We talked about the second and third goal scored by Arizona, how, you know, Dvorak's just sitting by himself in front of the net taking free wax. Nobody's taking a body. Nobody's moving him out of the way. Clayton Keller all by himself in the slot on the power play. Conversely, on the other side, not getting to the net often enough. We saw it all year long. We saw it last year in the Dallas series as well. Do you think the way this team is structured, do they have the guys necessary to play the way you need to play to win in the playoffs? Can they do these things and get to the middle of the ice? Can they clear out these players in front of the net? And what's it going to take to get this group to do that on a consistent basis?
Well, I 100% think they have the players to do it. I've seen them do it. I think we've all seen them do it. I think at the end of the season, they showed that they're more than capable of playing that lockdown system, taking care of the front of the net. And you look at those goals and, you know, yeah, they were there and you know, Dvorak had his stick loose, but it really happened so fast. And Ellis was there and you have a split second. That puck, you know, they were there and that puck came out from behind the net and it was a shot and then it was a rebound and it was the bang, bang, bang play. And, you know, they were like, they were in position and you just have to make sure that in that split second that you are, you know, focusing on taking that stick and getting under and lifting so you can't have that rebound. I do think this team is capable. I think a lot of these, it just shows you how little time you have to make that decision when you watch that replay of how much or how little time they have. And even the Clayton Keller goal, that goal was another goal where he just got in that little soft spot. It was a bang, bang play. They executed on those plays. But a lot of that, I think, is just a little bit of rust of not having played. They play one game. They did play that way. They were able to lock it down. They bought in fully to playing a defensive system and taking care of the front of the net, and they executed it perfectly going down the stretch. Now, it's not perfect right now. It's not clean, but I still think that they have a team. And you talked about the highs and lows and, you know, all those types of things, and, oh, we lost the game. And this is it's hard for a fan. It's hard for an analyst. It's hard for a player to separate, you know, those emotions. But you have to understand, hey, if they take care of business and they play the way that they did in the third period where they were attacking, they didn't give up much when they did, you know, early in the period, Saros made a couple big saves to allow them a chance to come back, but they dominated the Coyotes and they can, if they play the way that they're supposed to play. And it starts with the defensive side of the game. It puts the puck in your hands a lot more often. And then they use their speed a lot better and got on the transition. But the bottom line is if they win this game, it's down to a best of three. So you don't look, oh no, you got to win 3 out of 4 and all this kind of, you know, whatever, you know, all the things that you think about and all the scenarios. If they win this game, it's even. And that's kind of the mindset you have to have as a player. And hopefully you can have that as a fan. And I'll have that as an analyst. I'll probably be saying that here in a few hours. So that's the way I look at it.
Chris, is there any reason to think UC Saros won't be in net today?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that he played well enough. I thought he looked good. There's no goal that he let in that I would fault him for. You obviously want to see that miraculous extra save. I think he made those in the third period when they were, you know, mounting their comeback, especially at a couple 2-on-1s early in the period, one Taylor Hall, and I can't remember who the other one was, but he had a couple really big saves. At that junction in the game, it looked like he settled in. He looked the same to me as he did at the end of the season. So, you know, unless you want to, you know, it's a touchy subject decision to make because you don't want to mess with the guys early, especially when he didn't play bad and show panic as a coach. But at the same time, you know, you had another guy, you know, one of the best goalies in the world on your bench right now that's had a great camp and show that he can play in those situations too. But I don't expect the change. Having said that, I'm not the coach, and you never know.
Of course, on this show, we're already moving on to game three. Like, we're speculating on game three and what's going to happen. But
we do.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about, you know, all the different, you know, a win here, a loss here. You play really well. Do you go back with Saros back-to-back? But one thing that we were speculating on, and I'd like to ask you, when it comes to being a goalie and you know the strain on a goalie in different situations, like how much of a difference is it if you say face like 40 shots versus 20 shots? Like how much more is taken out of you in a heavy work game? And then of course, as that relates to then trying to come back and play the next day.
You know, I don't know. I mean, for me, I just didn't care. You always want to play. If you ask Pecker, if you ask Juice, they want to play the next day. I mean, if you have practice, if you play a game and then your team practices the next day, yeah, you get 40 shots and it's drawn over and you have all that mental preparation and everything, but you're taking hundreds, almost 1,000 shots in practice. So you're going to go there. And these guys, I tell you, like Juice and Pex, they don't go to practice and go through the motions. They go to practice and they work their butts off. So I mean, players have to do it. These guys are out there killing each other. They're hitting, blocking shots. They call goalies crazy. We got, you know, almost three times the equipment they do, and they're putting their bodies on the line. And, you know, we've been fooling them for years. So these players, you guys are crazy. You guys are the crazy ones. But, you know, I think when you play games, you want to keep playing, and especially if you're playing well, and if it's the next day, so be it. It doesn't, in the long term, when you're planning over a season, obviously you have to, you know, make sure that you're, even though you want to keep riding a guy, I think now we've seen that it pays dividends later in the season, the playoffs. But right now, I got no issue. They got no travel. They're managing their rest. They're in full control of the, you know, everything that's going on around them in terms of the rest and the recovery that they get. So, I don't think it's even an issue to me, to be honest with you.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Chris, enjoy Game 2, my friend, and thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Bye. Chris Mason, brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. We'll be right back, wrap up the show, and give our final thoughts leading into Game 2. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.